Welcome to Charity ePulse. My name is Charles Mosquito. I'm a Charities Director at Quilt Achieviot. I'm joined once again by my two compadres, James Saunders from Moore Kingston Smith, who's a charity partner there, and Catherine Rostjomji, who's Head of Charities at Shakespeare Martineau. Welcome, guys. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, good.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. So we've got lots to talk about and some surprising events. We've had the announcement yesterday of the general election. So we perhaps should start with around campaigning, because I'm sure a lot of people will be equally confused. I was going to go and refresh my memory, but go and look at the guidance from the Charity Commission. Catherine, what would your advice be for charities?
Exactly that in a nutshell, Charles. I think the guidance is really good. It's useful. I think there is a bit of a too much of an abbreviation, which almost assumes that charities can't campaign, and that's not correct. And I think it's just for charities to understand, yes, you can campaign for your cause. And if it's for a change in the law or change in policy, it needs to be cross-party rather than becoming too aligned to any particular political party and their manifesto or whatever. So interesting times, but I think, you know, that guidance is timely. It's there, it's ready. I would have a look at that.
And also, I think you have to register, don't you?
Yes, if you're going to be a campaigning body, with the Electoral Commission.
With the Electoral Commission. James, have you got any thoughts on the subject?
I suppose just check and be careful, I suppose, is the short answer, as Catherine was saying. You can still do your work, as long as, presumably, if you're not changing anything, then you're probably on reasonably safe ground. But just make sure you check that guidance, that Charity Commission guidance.
Yeah. No, I think that's very, and it was interesting because Catherine and I, you and I were earlier, had Matt Whitaker talking about the summit that he had conducted with the Labour Party and everything else. And also there was an article, wasn't there, in the Civil Society about not assuming that Conservatives are negative to charities.
I thought it was so sweet, naive in a way, but sweet, where it said, you know, basically don't assume we're all horrible, but it was always the kind of subtext of, but I know we have got some horrible factions within the party who do say mean things about charities. I can see why you might not like that, but don't assume we're all the same and, you know, get involved. But it was also from an MP who's stepping down at the next election. So you kind of think, I'm not quite sure there was that much behind it, but I thought quite sweet. It raised a smile when I read it.
Always get the feeling, Charles, with the, you know, it's one of those situations where an MP, they're invariably brilliant. You know, they're invariably enormously interested in their communities, can't do enough for their local charitable causes. MPs together are horrible, you know, horrible groups of people who hate all charities and always gang together. You know, it's just that difference between the individual and the collective.
Yeah.
And I think it goes both ways, doesn't it? We, you know, you generically lump them in all together and they generically lump everybody else in. But if you actually talk to them about their local charities and local communities, they'll talk about all the wonderful work that they come across and see and everything else. So it is a bit sort of schizophrenic, isn't it, in that respect? And actually, there is a knock-on effect on that, isn't it? Because it does, I think one of the single biggest problems that seem to be coming across is that actually charity, the whole perception of charities is really mixed at the moment. I mean, the public are still very generous in their support, but, you know, that reputation has been definitely dented as a result of, I think, comments both from the press and from politicians. And they're sort of focusing on that. The other thing I noticed is that the Charity Governance Code next consultation. So we've, I think, was it what, 7 years ago it came out? And then we had a refresh 3 years, four years ago.
Yeah.
And now we're going through another. I don't know if either of you have had a look at that, Catherine.
I was interested to see that there is one, and I thought, I thought the feedback was, don't do one, leave it alone, let us all get used to it and work on it. Maybe with some more tech bells and whistles in terms of making it more interactive to use what's already there. And also, I just saw the headline about the proposal to impose charges if you want to use it, but I haven't looked at that in detail. But James, I think, had you seen more of the content of what's in there?
Yeah, I had a look at the portal where it's asking for, you know, the opinions. And it's I mean, as you said, Catherine, the general consensus seemed to be it's not broke, so don't really go overboard in fixing it. I think charities like it as it is. I think there's probably quite a lot of effort and work to put into the last or the original incarnation of this, less so with the refresh. I think most people looked at it and said, well, we'll tweak it a bit, but there's nothing major here. So on this one, I think that the seven pillars principles, if you like, approach is still there. They ask how you like those, satisfied or dissatisfied. The interesting bit really is there's two extra bits. So there's a bit that says the following topics have been raised as being relevant for inclusion in the code. It does note adding more to the code increases workload for trustees and staff. So it's making the point there that, obviously the more you want in there, the more there's going to be work for people actually formulating the code in the first place. So it goes through I think there's 14 extra potential topics. Artificial intelligence and cyber as well is in this, and technological advances, boardroom behaviours. Cybersecurity, climate change is in there. That's obviously big at the moment. Big full stop. Engaging with issues of cultural significance, financial resilience, fraud, massive. Investments, always been there. Lobbying and campaigning, quite relevant now, but I'm not quite sure what. I mean, that strikes me as one that why put more in there about lobbying and campaigning? That's not really, it's already there, isn't it? I mean, we already talked about the Charity Commission guidance on all of these sort of subjects. So quite why that seems a strange one to be in there, along with political engagement. Risk management, okay, that's always going to develop. And you'd say that was in there. So it's a bit of a mixed bag of things that are probably already in there somewhere, completely brand new and need more extensive work, like, environmental factors. It's changed enormously since the last code the refresh. And then stuff that we don't, is pretty much irrelevant and dealt with elsewhere.
But James, but this is the whole thing. We've moved from a governance code that was rule based to principle based, and it's meant to be high level and strategic, which I think is exactly what it is. And I don't mind that they're reviewing it and everything else. And now we're starting to get lost into the weeds again, because a lot of these issues are dealt with elsewhere. Whether they're dealt with in SORP or they're dealt with the Charity Commission. Climate change. I mean, yes, that's fundamentally every charity should be having a look at this, but it doesn't need to be in the governance code. The governance code is much more about culture. Yes, definitely within an organisation, the way that it functions. I mean, the first thing I would do is get rid of the two codes. I mean, you've got one for smaller charities and one for larger charities. You look at both of them and there's very little difference.
That is one of the questions though, Charles. So, I mean, you put your two pence worth into the portal.
But also, not this year's trustee exchange, the previous one, where the panel sat up and had a whole lot of trustees sitting in the audience. And the message was very clear. Yes, we're getting used to it. Yes, we found it really helpful. Please don't change it. It does exactly what we need it to do at the moment. And I really worry that, review it, fine, have a consultation, but stop tinkering, because all you're going to do is people are just going to lose interest.
I mean, the way that this is structured, it is very much, what do you think? So, it's not forcing anything through. The questions are, question says, do you think the code needs to go further in these areas? Yes, no, don't know. I'm not sure why I'm a bit dumb here, but it's a yes, no answer. So, perhaps it is a case of we'll put these things in, but the conclusion in the end will be very few of these need more detail in our code. Yeah. I rather hope that would be the case.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because the code, the Charity Commission withdrew their equivalent guidance, which I loved, which was hallmarks. So hallmarks of effective charity. And as a broad principle and a hallmark of thumbs up, you're doing this well, it worked. And so, the seven pillars, great, seven pillars. Let's keep it thematic, keep it broad in its approach so that we know the areas we need to work on. And now I think even the last refresh, I thought was getting into too much detail for some of the questions. It's too tit for tat. That's not governance. Governance should be that broader theme. How does it feel? How is it working? Where are the areas for improvement?
The other point as well is as we were the point about the charge for it, the funding for it. There's a question later on, as that says, how should we fund this? Should it be private investment? Should it be a charge for charities or the users? Should the professional advisors pay? That's another question later on, which is an important one.
Well, I think so. There are several things, aren't there? Is firstly, you're those that are going to respond. You're not. I mean, last time when they did this, they didn't actually get that many people coming back and giving them feedback. And I suspect the same thing will happen this time. And it's only those that are possibly a little at the geek end of it will probably feedback. And I'm not sure that's a very good representation. But the charging element of it, I mean, because originally I think it was things like Barrow Cadbury, and there were at least two livery companies that had funded it. And I never really understood why it sat outside the Charity Commission, but actually with the devolution and Oscar and everything else. But possibly this should actually sit with the Charity Commission, Oscar, and the Charity Commission of Northern Ireland. And it should be government funded. I think it would be absolutely wrong to charge charities because they just won't pay for it, and secondly to get private companies to stump up the money, because they're all going to do it because there's a vested interest doing it. I mean, at the moment I think you mentioned two law firms that seem to have attached their name to it, and of course that also, I think you can be in danger of getting the wrong motivation for it. This definitely sits as a regulation part and should and needs to be completely and utterly impartial.
Yeah.
I don't know, Catherine, have you got other views on it?
Where we go. I mean, the consultation, it says it's open until the 11th of August. So that's quite a long one, isn't it? I suppose with a bit of summer months in there. But it will be interesting to see, you know, what the collective response is to this, because I thought those topics just sound like you sat on a bus and asked random people, pick a topic and I'll add it to the list. Yeah, I think, yeah, let's see what the scores say.
I think also we should recognise that actually over the last 7 years with the introduction of the code, because I remember speaking to the first chair, his name I forget, because she wasn't sure how many people had taken it up and adopted it. But actually, from my experience going talking to charities, a lot of people had taken it up, a lot of people had adopted it, a lot of people had taken it really seriously. So actually, I think it has been a really positive thing. And I think there's no doubt about it. I mean, governance isn't perfect across the sector, but actually it is much better than it was 20, 30 years ago. And people are much more aware of it. And what I worry more actually is it then becomes its own life of its own. And you know, you spend all your time worrying about governance and not on what actually the purpose of what the organisation was set up to do and your beneficiaries.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want it principle based. I think if we said it's principles, then get up to the principle level.
And the one thing I would take out of it is actually in the governance code, it's the only place they do it where they talk about the longevity of trustees, and they have it as 9 years, which seems to me as a little bit bizarre. James, any other further thoughts on the code?
I don't think so. As Catherine says, it's open for a few months. So I guess the only way we're going to get our points across is to fill it in. And hopefully enough of those people who have said, no, it's pretty decent in its current state, will, you know, submit and give that opinion.
So I suppose the messages we've got today is that if you you shouldn't, just because we're in a general election, not campaign, so long as you're focusing on your objects, but make sure that you register with the Electoral Commission if you are going to, and read the Charity Commission guidance, and then be aware of the governance code, and please feel free to feedback, because I think the more that we feedback, the more likely they are to respond.
Yeah.
Excellent. Guys, thank you very much. Once again, a really good e-chat. People can get this on a podcast, as well as on this, and if anybody has any subjects they would like us to talk about, cover and everything else, please feel free to email us.